Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Well, in just a little over 3 weeks, we'll be celebrating one of the biggest holidays in America and also in some other parts of the world. And of course, that holiday is Christmas. I looked it up just out of curiosity to see how many countries actually celebrate Christmas. Because, you know, not every country in the world celebrates Christmas. There are approximately 194 countries in the world, and not all of them celebrate Christmas. Some of them it's forbidden. But approximately 160 countries do celebrate Christmas. And a few of these countries refer to the holiday as Family Day, which include Angola and Uruguay. And some countries, like Jordan and Pakistan, designate December 25th as an official holiday only for Christians. However, that could change in the not-too-distant future. Well, a number of years ago, my family had just started going to a different church, and they were going to have their Christmas play. And it was scheduled to run a couple of different nights. And my family was going to the first Christmas play at that particular church. And I remember as the service opened that Sunday evening for the Christmas play, the pastor got up, as most pastors do before the play starts, and made a few announcements. And as he's making the announcements and whatever else he was taking care of right then, one of the deacons, if I recall correctly, comes scurrying down the aisle in quite a hurry with a slip of paper in his hand. And he handed it to the pastor. And the pastor took the paper and he read to himself what it said. And then he read aloud to the congregation the message he has just received. And although I can't remember the wording of that statement exactly, I remember the gist of the message. And the gist of the message was that he had just received a message from Washington, D.C., from the White House. And I can't remember the rest of the words that had to say that, but what it was shocked the entire congregation as he read the conclusion of the statement, which was something like this: by order of the President of the United States of America, Christmas has been canceled. And you can imagine the look on people's faces when they heard those words, Christmas has been canceled. Well, of course, in that particular case, this led into the play and the events that took place. Quite honestly, I don't remember the play. But I do remember that opening statement that was made and the shock that people experienced when they heard that message read. And of course, as I mentioned, in some parts of the world, Christmas is not celebrated at all. Others, only as a holiday for Christians. And in some countries, it's outlawed altogether. Even in our lifetimes, we have seen the nature and reason for the Christmas holiday change. And I see people commenting all the time. I see articles about how commercial the season has become. And now it's all about the money, really. It's all about how businesses can cash in on this holiday. And for most of them, this holiday season is where they make the vast majority of their profit for the year. And even you, though you've gone somewhere and you say, look at this item, I bought it on sale, they still made good money off of it. Because it's all about selling, selling, selling. And everything you see has to do with, let's make another sale, it would seem like. And it seems like the true nature of the holiday is being left out, and very few commercials or anything on television has to do with the true nature of the holiday, which is about celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We seem to try to forget that that's the reason we have the holiday at all. And another surprising thing that I find here in America anyway is another holiday is overtaking the Christmas holiday in popularity. And guess which one that is? Halloween. Hasn't quite achieved it yet, but it's getting there. And I know some people get up and they tell one way or the other about Halloween, and I'm not here to make a statement about Halloween today. I just want to let you know that that's the one that is gaining in popularity. So it's become extremely commercial. In fact, in the near future, that may be the only thing that keeps the holiday being celebrated at all. You see, the name, the word Christmas means Christ Mass. It's not about Santa Claus, it's about Jesus Christ. I really not quite sure, didn't research it, personally really don't care how Santa Claus got involved in the mixture. But it's about Jesus. And we need to celebrate the holiday as Jesus. It's not about the gifts that we give each other. And I know every one of us, we just love to sit around on Christmas Day and the gifts be passed out and hear our name called. Does anybody sit around in there, wherever they're at on Christmas Day, and their name gets called out? I got a package for you, and you say, oh, I don't want that. I doubt any one of us turns down a good Christmas present. And there's nothing wrong with giving Christmas presents. I hope nobody's misunderstanding me on that. There's nothing wrong with giving each other Christmas presents. But we are to also celebrate the fact that God gave us a gift. He gave us the greatest gift of all. There's a chorus, we've sung at a couple of our church Christmas parties that my wife wrote, called Love is the Greatest Gift of All. And the love that God has for us is the greatest gift that He could give mankind by giving His Son, Jesus Christ, to be born as a baby there in the manger, that He could then grow up, that He could live among us, that He could then offer Himself, His body, as the sacrifice on the cross that we could have forgiveness of our sins. You talk about love. God loves you. That's the gift that we need to be thinking about and talk about it and celebrate at this Christmas season. Some businesses now prohibit their employees from saying Merry Christmas. Why? To avoid offending a few. And for some reason in our society recently, we're concerned about offending a few as compared to the rights of the many. Oh, you can't say Merry Christmas anymore. There might be an atheist out there that will get offended. There might be a Muslim that gets offended. I quite honestly have never heard of a Buddhist or a Hindu or any of those others getting offended at it. Only those two groups. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth, First John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. God's Son. Nativity scenes have been taken down because a few didn't believe in God and say they were offended. You can put up anything else you want that's offensive, but you can't put up a nativity scene because that might offend someone. I titled this message, The Last Christmas. And some would ask, well, why would you call it that? Well, there's a painful fact out there that for some folks, hopefully for none of us that are gathered here today, but for some folks, this will be their last Christmas. They will slip into eternity and go to whichever destination that they're going to, which frankly boils down, they'll either be going to heaven or they'll be going to hell. They just got to put it plain. So for some folks, it will be their last Christmas because they will go into eternity. But the other thing is there could be political changes that would take place that could outlaw the holiday as we know it. Did you ever stop to think about that? There are groups right now that are putting pressure on people in various cities and various places to start to outlaw some of the facets of Christianity and anything that has to do with Christianity because it offends one person. I heard on the news the other day that a group of school children in one particular East Coast city were scheduled to go to a Christmas play, The Nutcracker, which is really a secular play. But they were not allowed to go because one person objected, because it had the word Tannenbaum in it. That one word. And it offended one of the parents. The whole group no longer got to go to the play. So if it has come to that, then it is possible within the next few years, even within the year, and I know some people say, well, you're really stretching it there. I tell you, I don't know what's going to happen in the next year, but anything could happen. But there could be changes. You know, I believe the Bible, and I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. I believe He is the Son of God. I also believe the words that Jesus spoke when He was on planet Earth is true. And as the Son of God, He keeps His word. Do you believe Jesus keeps His word? Here's what Titus 1:1-2 says. Paul writing, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God cannot lie. Jesus goes on to say in John chapter 14, 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus doesn't lie because He is the Son of God. I said there could be very many reasons as to why this could be the last Christmas. In some countries it may be. The political climate could change and it could be outlawed. What will happen here in America, I don't know. But I also know other events could take place. One called the rapture could take place, and it would mean that this would have been the last Christmas if the rapture were to take place. Because you see, during the tribulation period, they're not going to celebrate Christmas. They're not going to celebrate anything that had to do with Jesus Christ. They're not going to celebrate anything that had to do with the one true God. One theologian recently stated that he believed the rapture could take place between now and 2021, and that the second physical coming the physical second coming could be between 2018 and 2028. And I know that's kind of date setting in a way, but the Bible tells us that although we don't know the day or the hour, only the Father in heaven knows. He also tells us that we can know the time and the seasons. And if you've read the scripture and you've read what the Bible has to say about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when He comes and sets His foot on planet Earth again and He sets up His earthly kingdom for that thousand-year reign, that could happen in the very near future. There are very few things that stand between that and that event taking place that have to be fulfilled according to Scripture. And of course, when somebody makes a statement like that, whether we agree with them or not, there are always some scoffers who make some remarks. But I was particularly interested in one remark that was made by the Reverend Jonathan Blake, who is the Archbishop of London, and that is the Anglican Church in London. It would be called the Episcopal Church primarily here in America. He dismissed the rapture as purely Hollywood scaremongering. He said such claims were made only when religious leaders want to attract more people to their beliefs. Scare them so they'll come to church. And I do remember back when I was young, some of the messages that were preached. and how the altar calls were given. And yes, you might could say there were a few scare tactics sometimes thrown in. So-and-so didn't come to the altar, and on their way home, they were killed in a car wreck. But you know what? I'd rather scare somebody into coming into the kingdom of God than have them go to hell.
Amen.
We've become too lax in church today, and anything goes. You see, the Reverend Blake goes on to say, he said, the influence of religion over people is decreasing. All you've got to do is look around at the majority of churches, and numbers are declining. Even some of the mega churches are finding it, are falling upon hard times, having to sell off some of their property, some even closing down. The influence of religion over people is decreasing. Hence, the scaremongering stories were made to drive people back to religion. But here's the statement that really got me, part of his statement. But they were wrong, as we now live in an enlightened age. We know more than what that book called the Bible has to say. We are no longer bound by those fables that are included in that book. That's basically what he's saying. We don't have to believe that anymore. Jesus himself said the day was coming when he would come again. These events were foretold over 2,000 years ago, some of them a lot longer ago than that, that will take place in the not-too-distant future. And I don't care who you are. I don't care what your position is. If you do not believe the whole Bible, you are wrong. And I'll have to go on and add to it, I seriously doubt your relationship with God. Because it's not about religion to start with. It's about your relationship with God. Second Peter 2:1 said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves a swift destruction. Jesus also speaking to his disciples in Luke chapter 21, and particularly verses 20 through 28, he said this, and when you shall see Jerusalem encompassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these shall be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon the people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, the power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Those were the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples approximately 2,000 years ago. And today we see these events being fulfilled. We see Jerusalem encompassed by its enemies. We see signs in the sun and in the moon. And I know a lot has been made about the four blood moons that take place over, two have already occurred, two have yet to occur in 2015. A solar eclipse of the sun, which will, by the way, happen on Nisan 1 next year, that event will take place. The signs that God talked about, distress of nations, perplexity. There's disease running rampant. There's disease that we seem to be able to hardly even treat. volcanic eruptions. I've been just kind of keeping track of how many volcanoes are in the process of erupting right now or have active lava flow that's coming from them. And if I'm correct, I think there are about four that's taking place in all over planet Earth today. Jesus is coming soon. But he tells us when he sees these things to do what? Look up. Don't look down. Don't be sad. Don't be perplexed. Don't be distressed. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. He's coming. And just as he came to be born in that manger 2,000 years ago, he's coming again for his people. He's coming again for his children. He's coming again for those he loves. If this will be the last Christmas or not, no one really knows. However, the day is coming when we will celebrate with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and rule and reign with him for eternity. That's going to be better than any Christmas we could have ever celebrated here on planet Earth. When we fulfill the true meaning of Christmas and we are seated along him at that great banquet hall in heaven, and at the time that we spend with him, part of his kingdom here on planet Earth, he has great things in store for his people, and we have that to look forward to. And I know that might be disappointing for some folks, but no more Black Friday sales. And there may be some people listening to me on the internet have no idea what that's about, but the folks here all got it. We're going to be blessed. All of our needs met. Every one. No more sickness. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more hardships. No more heartaches. You talk about a present that God is giving us. Oh, he's given us a great gift. He's given us a great present. And that was the gift of Jesus Christ. Almost everyone on earth at this point in time has heard of the name Jesus. Many look at him in a different way than we do. Some do not look at him as the Son of God. They may look at him as a great prophet. They may look at him in some other way. But we know what God's Word says. And we know that he's coming for us. And for those that are listening to me today by other means, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I pray today that you will invite him into your heart. He has the perfect gift for you. A gift that no one, I repeat, a gift that no one can take away from. Think about that. You can have a gift given to you by somebody, and somebody else can come along and steal it from you and take it away from you. But this gift that God has for you, no one can take it away from you. And that's the gift of eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. All you need to do is ask him into your heart, ask him into your life, and say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Come into my life. And Father, I pray today as this word has gone forth, Father, that somewhere, someplace, Father, it will touch hearts and lives, and that someone will come into the kingdom today because of this word. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174, Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.